We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Morning, New York, Yankee fans. What is going on? Thank you for listening. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show, number 20. We have made it to 20. And my regular colleague and co-host, Andrew Rotondi, is still in Europe and probably having the time of his life, probably drinking a little too much, visiting a lot of cities, having a good time. We'll see what he's doing. But he'll be back next week. So this week we have Mr. Rich Kaufman, who is our editor and also writer at Bronx Pinstripes, who's joining us. Rich, how's it going?
Good, Scott. How you doing?
Good, good. And also joining us for the very first time is Mr. RJ Lubier. RJ, what's going on?
Not much. How's it going, Scott?
Good, good, good. So, RJ, this is the first time you've been on, so why don't you kind of introduce yourself, man? Let's talk about how we first, you know, got in contact, I guess, and when you started writing on the site.
Yeah, I've been with the site for a little over 2 years. I followed you guys on Twitter first. Just, you guys were breaking all kinds of news and writing good articles. So I was like, oh, check these guys out. And then you sent out a tweet looking for another writer, and I decided, why not?
I like it.
So I do the game previews for every game, and just started doing history articles, like on this day in history.
Very good. It seems like everybody likes to kind of reminisce and go back and check out the prestigious history of the New York Yankees. So
yeah, back in the good old days.
That's right. Not to say that today isn't a good day.
Well, today wasn't.
We record this on Sundays, as most of the people who listen know. But yeah, I mean, it's been a good few days. Hopefully, this doesn't start another streak on the wrong side of the pendulum. But thanks. I appreciate you guys joining me. So, you know, just kind of this weekend has been, for me, it's been kind of a whirlwind. I was up at the stadium on Saturday. I had my little sister graduated high school on Thursday. I've been kind of all over the place, driving all over the place, so lots of travel. But Saturday at the stadium was friggin' awesome. It was a really good day at the stadium. It was a long day. Got a little bit of mist, not too much rain, which hopefully, thankfully, Mother Nature kind of backed off a little bit, which was good. So, what about you guys? Get into any trouble this weekend?
I was in Atlanta for a wedding. My best friend got married, and I was a groomsman, actually, in the wedding. So, want to give a shout out to Tyler and Caroline. Congratulations! But yeah, it was really hot. In Atlanta, it was about 100 degrees.
Ooh.
Yeah, so wearing a suit.
That's not a dry heat either, that everybody talks about.
No,
so my, nice.
No. It's like a sauna. But
brutal.
Yeah, so I got back Sunday night, and here we are.
Nice. RJ, anything good?
I actually did something really manly. I saw the new Pixar movie, Inside Out.
All right.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. I'm just saying, it's not for the kids, these Pixar movies.
No, they're not. They have a lot of adult humor, and it's a lot of like witty humor that you need to get.
Yeah, it was actually good. I recommend it.
The kids see a bunch of cartoon characters running around, and the parents get the jokes, so it's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah, no, I like it. Cool. Well, you know, let's start getting into some Yankee baseball. We had a kind of an up and down week, I'd say, with, you know, obviously Old Timers Day on Saturday was a real big highlight. A-Rod got 3,000 on Friday night, which was a really great scene at the stadium as well. So first, let's do a little bit of just kind of wrap up on some things. There were a lot of different injuries and call-ups and transactions and things that happened throughout the week. So I guess let's just start with the injuries, because a lot of those actually led to some of those transactions. So first one was Sergio Santos went down with Tommy John surgery. It seems like we cannot find a right-handed guy to either do well or stay healthy.
Yeah, it's typical Yankees luck this year, right? I mean, they finally get a guy who maybe looks like he has some promise as being the long guy out of the pen. And he goes down with Tommy John surgery, which has gotten a lot of pitchers this year, obviously. But I think Santos's last outing was that bases loaded, no out situation against the Marlins, and he gets out of it. I feel like Santos did more that inning as a Yankee than Esmo Rodgers did in his entire career as a Yankee, which spanned a season and a half. But so that's some tough news for the bullpen.
Yeah, so Santos goes down, and we've had pretty much a string of guys coming up and being sent back down from the minor leagues. A lot of them are right-handed arms. It seems like Girardi's just trying to see what he has with his right-hand relief pitchers, I guess, before the deadline, right? Which is, maybe that's not a bad move to see what you got. Although I am a little skeptical of you know, some of these guys getting called up and showing their best stuff, you know, immediately, especially when you're a kid. It's kind of a tough position to be put in. But guys who have been sent down, Martin was sent down. Kind of a corresponding move to just, you know, the right-handed struggles we've had. And then the guys who've been pulled up was Jose DePaula, who's been up and back down now, Brian Mitchell, who's been up and back down, and Barawa, who's been up and back down. So, I mean, it's crazy what Girardi is doing. And I know, RJ, you have some thoughts on Girardi's management of the pen. What do you think about this right-handed situation?
I want to keep the language PG, but when I'm talking about Girardi's bullpen management, I don't think I can. Like the other day, he put in Barawa for his first game as a Yankee. His entire family was there. It was against the Tigers, and he had to face the heart of the Tigers lineup. I mean, I understand, you know, you want to. That was today.
It was today.
Father's Day, too.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you. Show your dad, you know, what you got. And he comes in, and I believe he gave up 4 runs.
Yeah. In under an inning.
I mean, I get that, you know, Tanaka was shelled, and you want to keep your eye on Tanaka since he, you know, was coming back from that ligament. But just to throw that poor kid in that situation.
I mean, to be fair enough, though, I mean, what do you want him to do? Not pitch? Because, you know, his family and his father, everybody's there. He's a local kid. It's. I mean, to me, I would rather be out there and try to show what I got. I mean, you know, to who I'm pitching against is, to me, irrelevant because, you know, if you're out there for – you got to do your job. It doesn't matter who's in front of you. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It was unfortunate. And obviously, I'm sure the kid was nervous as hell.
Oh, absolutely. And to bring him up into that and then to send him down because he gave up 4 runs on his very first game as a Yankee in front of his entire family is just not fair. Obviously, you're not going to pitch well in that situation. You're nervous. Your team's down 12-1 at that point, and he got sent down just because he gave up like 4 runs, and he's not going to come in and show off. He's not going to be Max Scherzer when he comes in for his first game. You got to give the kid a chance.
Yeah. So a couple more moves. Lindgren is practically done for the year. He had a bone spur cleaned out.
Yeah, he's undergoing surgery on his left elbow to get a bone spur out, and recovery time is no less than 12 weeks. So he's gone.
And then we had Mason Williams, who was back down. And Rich, I know you had mentioned to me kind of when we were talking before we started hitting record, was that, you know, he's had some shoulder injuries that were kind of lingering, and I know he's been running into walls pretty hard as well.
Yeah, shoulder injuries are really tough because they never really heal. You kind of have to just deal with them, from time to time. You really can't get a break. And I guess Girardi said that his shoulder popped out and back in, right. Which...
Yeah, that's what he said in the post game.
Yeah, you need to give that time to heal. And I guess the only way to do that is to DL him. So hopefully we'll see him in 2 weeks. The Yankees... They're having some trouble filling in for Ellsbury. It seems like every guy they bring up has gotten hurt so far, starting with Heathcott, now Williams, and hopefully Flores sticks. But
yeah, and you know, one of the I think the biggest difference between Heathcott, Williams, and then Flores is Williams and Heathcott have a little bit more flexibility on the defensive side for Girardi as well, whereas Flores is pretty much a corner outfielder, right? He's not really going to slot in center field. So, you know, look, there's a couple things you can talk about, right? Mason Williams and Heathcott both play defense with reckless abandon, and I love that. I absolutely love that. The thing that comes along with that is, you know, potential injuries. You have a higher risk of injuries, obviously. Mason Williams, I think it was either his first game up or, you know, near his first game up when he made that amazing catch against the wall in center field. I mean, I remember him just seeing that replay. How early he looked for the wall was unbelievable. It was probably 10 feet from the warning track, and then from there, you know, his head was on the ball, and he just kind of committed to the catch, which was which just kind of shows how he plays center field. So all right, so we got a bunch of injuries, other guys coming up, Diego Moreno and Nick Rumblow, both right-handed relief pitchers. were brought up. So again, these are tryouts in my opinion, right? Or
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of Diego Moreno until today, so it might actually have been an actual tryout.
Right.
From a guy on the street, you know, I've never heard of him before, but
well, our crack team did a little research, though, right? We found out that he was in the minor leagues for what, 10 years, 7 years? What was it? It was a long time.
Going on, I think 2007 was his first year in professional baseball. So
yeah, so he's been a journeyman or through the minors for a little bit, and this is his first look. So
and Rumbelow is actually, you know, he's actually a prospect. He's 23.
Right.
He has an ERA 3.31 this year. He throws hard. I think that's the thing the Yankees like. You know, they like these big arms coming out of the pen, and I think they're just trying to throw names at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Rumbelow can stay up for more than 24 hours.
So the other transaction that we had was actually today, Sunday, which is a big move for a lot of Yankee fans, and I know people are going to be excited about this one, is Aaron Judge is being promoted to AAA. And that's a big move for a couple different reasons. One, obviously, he's moving up in the organization, which means he's one step closer to the Yankees, which I know everybody's waiting for. Everybody's waiting for Judgment Day. They're waiting for the day that man comes up. But yeah, it puts him in prime position for a September call-up.
Yeah, he's so close, yet so far away. He's right. You know, he's right on the cusp of making it to the Bronx. That I wish it was September already, just so we could see him. But it's exciting in Scranton right now. You got Ref Snyder, obviously still there, Severino,
mm-hmm.
Who we could also see in September, and now Judge. So the guys that we've been hearing about the past couple of years are now, you know, one bus ride away from the stadium. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and that's three guys that you mentioned that have been, you know, we've been hearing about them for a long time as far as prospects and you know, helping the big club. And now we have three guys who, you know, when those rosters expand, you have to expect that, you know, barring injury and any kind of meltdowns, that those guys are going to be in line for that call-up, which kind of gives us a very much bolstered, you know, bench, I guess, late in the season. I think that could really help out. What do you think, RJ? I mean, are you expecting all three of these guys to see the Bronx at some point?
Not all at once, I don't think, because that's not Cash's MO. But I think we'll see. I want to say we'll see at least two of them. If we're in the race, come August, September, we'll see. I think we'll see. I don't want to say Ref Snyder because this Steven Drew love affair is just ridiculous. But we might see Judge and
Severino could be actually one of those guys that might slot in late in the season as a right-handed reliever.
Yeah, because that's true. And they've been tinkering with going back and forth. No, we're going to do six-man rotation. No, we're not going to do six-man rotation. But we're going to do six-man rotation come August, September. If you got the chance, you want to. If you're in the race, you want to keep Tanaka healthy so he can go into the postseason and pitch on 3 days rest if he has to. Going with the six-man rotation can make that very possible.
Right.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see two of the three guys this year. I think we'll see Ref Snyder and Severino. I think the only way we'll see Judge is if he, you know, comes out.
Just lights
guns,
up.
Guns blazing, proves that he can conquer AAA. But I think the Yankees are planning it perfectly where Beltran's contract, yep. You know, the last year of his deal will coincide perfectly with Judge's development. So I think 2016 spring training, I think Judge will have a good chance to make the big league team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, cool. So that kind of wraps up our injuries and transactions. We've got a lot of pitchers, some new names, and you know, hopefully these guys can kind of step up and fill that role that we've been looking for. But we'll talk about A-Rod, 3K. You know, when we discuss that game, because you know he did a lot of there were a lot of cool things involving A-Rod this week that I know we're going to touch on. And then Old Timers Day, we'll get on that as well. But let's talk about some highlights from the games. So Monday was a loss to the Marlins. We lost 2-1. That was a Tanaka game where he gave up two runs, nine hits through seven innings. He had a great outing. It was kind of wasted.
Yeah, his offense wasn't there. It was just hot and cold all season. Man, they were cold.
Yeah, and that game was a heartbreaking loss. I mean, that they were on a current losing streak. The Marlins are awful. It was 1-1. It was a tie game in the seventh inning, and Tanaka, it was a 2-0 pitch to the shortstop, I think it was, Dietrich, or the third baseman
yep,
of the Marlins.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a 2-0 pitch, and he grooves a fastball right down the middle, and Dietrich, that's how you pronounce it, I think. He hits it out to right.
It's a hard CH.
It's a hard CH, yeah. He hits it out to right field, and it was actually funny because McCann got on in the ninth, and he was pinch run for, I think, with Brendan Ryan.
Yep.
Well, whatever, doesn't matter.
The mustache, the lone remaining mustache.
The lone mustache, yeah. And A-Rod comes up, pinch hit, and he gets a standing ovation. It's probably the only ballpark in the world on the road, you know, visiting, you know, opposing ballpark that A-Rod's going to get a standing ovation in. Obviously, his hometown, Miami. But it was pretty funny to see, and I think A-Rod enjoyed it a lot.
You could definitely tell he enjoyed it. You could see on his face. He actually took a little bit, you know, when he realized what was happening. I think
he milked it.
Yeah. He did milk it a little bit. You know, he took a little bit longer to walk up to the plate. But, you know, it just kind of talks about the difference between him and his hometown and other places. You know, a lot of times they don't see the stuff that a lot of other people see. And not to mention, A-Rod does a lot of community work down in Miami as well. So I know they're also grateful because of, you know, what he does for that community too. So there was more than baseball going on, I think, with that ovation.
Right. And obviously with the National League rules, there was no DH, so he didn't play in those games.
Right.
So he was posting a lot of stuff on social media about charity work and events that he was doing during the day, because he really wasn't occupied with baseball so much.
Right.
Because I think he knew he basically had 2 days off. So I think the people down there really appreciate his charitable works. I think he's really involved heavily with the Boys and Girls Club in Miami. So just it was nice to see him get that ovation.
So a little bit more about A-Rod. This is probably a good point to talk about it. We'll touch on Tuesday's game, but we're probably not going to say too much about it because it was a disaster. But A-Rod, to this point, you know, we're June 21st, 22nd right now, and I mean, I think when we talked early on, when we had that A-Rod episode, Rich, you were on that episode, and I think you and I had, I didn't, as much as I hadn't, walking into the season, the respect level for me was not there, and my expectations, if you recall, were zero, right? I kind of came in with no expectations. I think at the beginning, I expected him to hit, but around this time, I kind of expected him to fall off and get tired and get maybe injured or something. But to A-Rod's credit, he is hitting .282, 14 home runs, and 40 RBIs on June 21st. Go ahead. He's your boy. Let's talk about him.
It's crazy. I mean, he's the most exciting player to watch right now. Every at bat, people, you know, they can't get enough of A-Rod. It's just, it's crazy to see that in 2015 that he's doing what he's doing, and no one expected it. I don't think he even expected it.
I think that's
helped him because he's playing with the house's money.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And you can tell that New York and A-Rod are kind of back into a love affair where they were at a different point in his career. And, you know, I think a lot of the hatred and a lot of the, you know, the boos from other places is kind of spurring on the Yankee fans, especially in the Bronx, to support and embrace this guy this year. I mean, he's really becoming, you know, one of the more loved Yankees, I should say. I say that tentatively, loved, but he is in Yankee Stadium. I mean, he's getting these crazy ovations. And RJ, you wrote an article this past week that got a lot of attention on Twitter and on Facebook about kind of an apology to him in a letter format, and it was really good. If you have not read it, definitely check it out. It's an awesome article, and it's a great read. So give us, talk about that and kind of your inspiration for writing that.
He was coming up on 3,000. I think he was at 2,999, and I'm sitting here thinking, what is happening? This dude's 39 years old. He's had two hip surgeries, sat out pretty much a year and a half, and he's played in 64 games out of 69 this year. And like you said, he's hitting .283 with 14 home runs. I would have thought he would have had 14 home runs all season.
Right.
We're still in June, so I'm sitting here thinking about like, okay, I was anti A-Rod as anybody you'll possibly find, but on the other side, I'm man enough to admit when I was wrong. I had zero expectations for him coming in. I thought he'd be on the DL by now, mm-hmm. Maybe on his second trip to the DL even, but I have to respect the fact that he has 3,000 hits. That's incredible for any player. So I was sitting around thinking, you know, I want to write an article, not a game preview, not a history. I just, you know, I gotta get these thoughts out. So I thought, okay, something funny. What about a letter to Alex Rodriguez, kind of saying, you know, I said some stuff about you, and it wasn't nice. It was mean. You did some stuff. I did some stuff. Let's put it in the past. You're having a great year. He's second. Ranked second on the team in a lot of categories. He's only behind Ellsbury, I believe, in batting average, who's on the DL. So who knows what his batting average would be. He might even be in first if Ells was still playing. So I got to thinking, and I had to man up and eat humble pie and say, you know, you're doing a great job and you're surprising me. Keep it up.
Yeah, I feel like hating A-Rod, you know, being a Yankee fan and hating A-Rod is kind of – it's old. It's played out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people are kind of over that because he's been here, what, 11 years? He's the longest tenured Yankee on the team.
That's crazy. Yeah. He's been here 11 years. It doesn't feel like that.
No, it's nuts.
And he's done everything right. He comes in, he plays the game, he answers questions, and he goes home. He's not, you know,
this year, yes.
Yeah, he's not the A-Rod of old where, you know, it's all about him, and you know, he was his own worst enemy for years.
Yeah, but that's right. Because at the same time, I wish he had done this years ago, and I'm sure he does too.
Oh yeah, like I said in my article, I said, dare I say, he's acting like Jeter. He's coming in, you can tell he's loving being back in the game. He's smiling in at bats. He talks to opposing catchers every time he comes up. The umpires he talks to the first baseman when he gets on. He's having a great time, and I wish, like you said, he did it his whole career.
So we'll talk a little more about him when we talk about Friday's game when he got that big hit. So let's get through the week for a couple of ones. So Tuesday, back to the Marlins. We lost 12-1. And Mr. Eovaldi had a little bit of a disaster outing. Two-thirds of an inning, 8 runs, 9 hits. It was not good. He could not locate pitches. When he did, it was his fastball, and they were just crushing him. So, there just isn't too much to say about that besides the fact that, you know, let's hopefully it was just a little blip on the radar for Eovaldi, and he can kind of rebound from that. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that game quickly on that one?
It was an interesting matchup. You had Eovaldi versus Phelps.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Two guys that were traded for each other. I kind of figured this would happen. I didn't know who would have had the bad outing going into it, but I figured one guy would try to do too much, you know, to prove, you know, pitch with a chip on his shoulder and then get just blown out. And it happened to be Eovaldi. Threw 36 pitches and basically just had a warm-up and then got taken out. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, so I thought the same. I thought one of these guys, you know, chip on their shoulder. I honestly thought it'd be Phelps because. But I mean, good for Phelps. He did good. Then Eovaldi just imploded.
Yep. Oh well, that's in the past. I forgot about it already because I know he pitched another good game since then. So Wednesday was a win, 2-1. Pineda gave up one run on one hit, which was a home run in 6 2/3. Now, there was an interesting dynamic in that game because at that point, he had 100 pitches. He was through 6 2/3, and Girardi comes and pulls him out right at that point. Now, do you think this is more because it was a 2-1 game, it was a competitive game, and you know, there was a home run hit, or do you think it was more of a 100-pitch thing?
I think it was because he's at 100. I mean, they skipped him in the rotation because they want to keep his innings down. So if they're going off of that, then obviously they're going to pull him out at 100. You want to keep him healthy because he's arguably your ace of the staff, right?
Yeah, I think that if they're not going to limit his starts, they're going to limit his pitches to try to help with that. So I think pulling him at 100 was probably the right move.
And he had no hit stuff that game, right? I mean, he was mowing guys.
He was no hit, five, right?
Yeah. So I think Girardi was kind of at a lose-lose situation there, but I really didn't have a problem that he pulled him there.
He kind of did, in a backwards way, he kind of did Girardi a favor, I think, serving up that home run, because Girardi would have pulled him, I believe, at, you know, close to 100 pitches. I don't think he wasn't getting through that game, whether he had zero hits or not. I don't think he was going to get through that game. I think Girardi was going to pull him and not pull a Terry Collins.
Absolutely.
I think he was coming out no matter what. But again, it's good to see him, at the stadium pitch well and get that win. That was when the Marlins came back. So we kind of did a split between Miami and New York, 4-game series with the Marlins. And that was the first game back in the Bronx. So going on to Thursday, we went 9-4. CC pitches, and you know, pitched pretty well. He did kind of what CC does. He managed the game. I think he gave up 3 runs, 5 hits through 6. So you know, CC had a decent outing, right? I think he's been a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I feel like he's just the workhorse, like he's always been. He's there to, you know, chew up innings. We all know he's not, you know, the CC of old. So he did his job. He went in there, you know.
Well, he's working. Yeah. He's workhorsing through 5 innings at least.
Yeah,
he's laboring through five innings. It seems like every single outing.
Yeah, but I feel like he's the one that, you know, if you're gonna be like, okay, keep him out there, whatever. He's the guy to do that. Chew up those innings. Keep the bullpen fresh.
Even though I'll take 3 runs on 5 hits through 6 from him every single time.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's pretty much all you can ask for him at this point. I mean, he's shown flashes. I feel like innings at a time, he'll show flashes of what he could be. But his problem is consistency.
Absolutely.
Once he becomes consistent, I think we can see a much better CC going forward.
And coming in for CC, we see Chasen Shreve, who has been probably the most dependable guy out of the bullpen, not named Miller or Betances. And you know, he comes in, gets the win, works an inning, and is now 4-1 with a 1.95 ERA on the season. So, I mean, Shreve and I'd say Wilson, right? Because Wilson came in for Pineda the night before and did well, got through the seventh inning for Pineda, and then got another out, I believe, in the eighth. So, you know, what are your thoughts on Shreve, but, you know, maybe the combo of Shreve and Wilson kind of taking over that 7-8 spot for and helping out with Miller gone.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like Shreve a lot. I know Girardi, he loves lefties who can get both lefties and righties out. You know, they're not specialist guys, so he can bring them in for innings at a time. You know, they're not in to face one guy, so that gives him a lot of flexibility. And I think the Yankees found a really good pitcher in Shreve in that Carpenter Benuelos deal.
Right. Thankfully, I think that saved Cashman's butt.
Yeah, they got something out of that, right?
Yeah.
No, but Shreve's been great. He can be a long man if you need him to. Coming out of the pen as a lefty, obviously, or he can come in for in a high leverage situation late in game. So he's earning a lot of trust, I think, with the Yankee fans and Girardi.
Absolutely, gotta agree. The kid's been great. I'd like to see him used a little bit more, but you know, I can't complain, because when he is in there, he does his job.
And RJ, you noted some stats from the Marlins series, so why don't you touch on those as well?
At the end, we split that series, two games. We lost in two games in Miami, 1-2 in the Bronx. Steven Drew goes 0-10 in that series. Steven Drew went 0-10, believe it or not.
That's weird.
Yeah. Try to contain your shock, but he did that.
That's not helping him get to Mendoza.
And then A-Rod, who is a DH and, you know, didn't have many chances to play in those games, he still went 4-7 with 2 RBIs in that series.
Yeah, he wanted 3,000 quickly. He wanted it on the home. He wanted to make sure he did it on the homestand.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to Friday. Friday was it was a good weekend, I think, overall. You know, taking two of three from the Tigers, which, I mean, you tell me we're taking two of three from the Tigers, I'll take that all day long.
Absolutely.
But Warren pitches another really good outing, two runs, seven hits through eight innings. I mean, you know, I think early when he was in the rotation, he was having a little bit of trouble extending those starts. You know, he was getting to the fifth and sixth inning and getting into some trouble. But, you know, with I think maybe his last outing as an exception, he's really been getting deeper into games, and he's really relishing in this starting gig. And you know, he's been doing well. So, you know, kudos to Warren for stepping up into a different spot, really, and taking advantage of it. And then in the very first inning, A-Rod steps up to the plate with 2,999 hits and grooves and just drills a home run to get 3,000. That was pretty cool.
It was cool. I mean, RJ talked before about A-Rod acting like Jeter this year. And that goes for in the clubhouse and also on the field. Yeah. You know, getting the 3,000th hit as a home run, which is just insane that he even did that.
On the very first pitch that he saw.
Yeah, Verlander clearly grooved a 95-mile-an-hour heater, like knee-high, on the outside corner. A-Rod just had to make contact and flick it out the right field.
Coming off his bat, it looked like maybe a shallow pop-up, maybe to the track, maybe to the outfield. I was like, there's no way. Any other player, that's a shallow pop-up, but A-Rod, yeah, with his crazy, powerful just legs just jacked it out.
Crazy power to right.
And you know, you kind of mentioned Verlander grooved a fastball, and if you look at the situation, there were two outs. There was nobody on base. It was the first inning, and I think Verlander, you know, maybe it was a little bit of a tip of the cap to A-Rod over, you know, for something. Maybe I'm reaching on that, but who knows? I think he just gave him a fastball and says, "Here's your opportunity. Take it if you will." And he took it and hit the ball over for 3,000. So got that out of the way fast, which definitely helped him out, I think, and kind of gave the Yankee fans a nice little homestand for A-Rod getting 3,000 at home. That was awesome.
I could see you making a case for Verlander being like, here you go, you know, get it over with. But A-Rod has pretty good numbers off Verlander in his career. Going into that game, he was 10 for 34 off of him, including the playoffs.
Like, and five home runs, I think, right?
And since 2012, he's 6 for 10 with three homers.
Three homers.
So he's done pretty good off of him. But I can see Verlander being, you know, let's get this over with here.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yep. All right,
What'd you guys think of how the dugout reacted to it, the Yankees dugout?
So I think the Yankees, it's kind of a testament to the way A-Rod is being received in the clubhouse. I think all the guys were truly, like, genuinely excited for him. You could just kind of see it on their facial expressions. And A-Rod gets, you know, a great ovation from the Bronx, from the Yankee Stadium crowd. And, you know, I think overall, everybody's behind him at this point. It's crazy. It's a crazy transformation. And, you know, I didn't expect any of this to happen because I didn't expect him to be this productive. But let's be honest, if he wasn't this productive, it wouldn't be happening. The fact is that he's doing everything right and playing well. So when that happens, Yankee fans root for their guys. And right now, he's their biggest, you know, he's our biggest guy.
I feel like we're in the bizarro world. When he came up for his at-bat before 3,000, everybody was on their feet. Everybody had their phones out. They knew they were going to witness something special. He does it. He comes back. Every Yankee's out of the dugout, high five and hugs. A-Rod picked up McCann and gave him a bear hug.
Yep.
And just everybody high-fived him. And he got a curtain call, and he went out and acknowledged, tipped his cap. It's incredible. It's weird, but in a good way.
Michael Kay kind of made a point on the broadcast that the Tigers dugout really didn't react to the home run. It was kind of like business as usual, just another hit, another home run in a game. So that was kind of telling, I thought.
And, you know, I kind of talked about this last week, and Andrew was asking me when we recorded, you know, how I thought the whole thing was going to go down. And to me, it kind of played out – similar to what I was thinking it was going to, and I think a lot of people thought this way, is that, you know, because of everything that happened, this was going to be a nice moment, and that was going to be a moment for him, for the Yankee fans, for his family, and then it was going to just kind of stay in that moment, and it wasn't really going to go on too much further. And you kind of saw that with the, you know, what you were saying and how Kay pointed out with the Tigers dugout. You know, some of the guys I think gave a tip of the cap at some point, but for the general overall theme, I think, is the opposing players aren't just really not going to react too much to it. So that's just kind of par for the course for, I think, what's going to happen this season. But, you know, as he stays productive, you know, I think he's going to keep earning more fans day by day.
Yeah, the numbers and the results kind of quiet a lot of the critics, I think. So that's as long as A-Rod produces, he'll have no problems with the fans, I think.
So one thing I want to point out, when he came home, he rounded the bases, and then he came out for his curtain call, it looked like he blew a kiss towards behind home.
Right.
And I'm like, who could he possibly be doing that to?
His daughters were there.
Yeah, his daughters were in the stands. He said that was the closest he was to choking up, is when he saw them and blew him a kiss. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, it just kind of shows that he's a real person, right? Father's Day weekend, his kids are in to watch. So
and it was funny after the game, his press conference, how he said that he wished that he had Jeter's guy in the stands.
Oh right.
Oh yeah.
To catch the ball, because obviously this guy is playing hard to get with it, but.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to sell the ball. You know, he's kind of just doing that in the beginning, but I have a feeling he's going to sell it. That's my prediction for this dude.
The guy that sold his 500th home run ball said this one probably be worth about $50,000.
Yeah. So,
it's a nice chunk of change.
So Friday night was a good start to the weekend set and back at home. And with the Tigers, and coming into Saturday, I mean, Saturday was another awesome day. It was Old Timers Day. I was at that game. I was pretty much there all day long. I did the whole shebang at the stadium. We were kind of testing out some things with Bronx Pinstripes, and I did a periscope. So I wanted to take the camera into Monument Park, and I did like a live periscope. If you guys aren't familiar with Periscope, it's a live video feed that you can actually send directly to Twitter, or if you have the app itself, you can look at it on the app. But it's kind of a cool way to interact live, and we had a whole bunch of people from all over the world, which was crazy, because it goes up on some feed in Periscope as well. But we had there were a lot of people from Brazil in there, like getting their tour of Monument Park, which was kind of cool. You know, I was interacting with some of those guys from Brazil. There were a lot of people from Brazil, actually, which was strange. But
all right.
But yeah, so got to do that, and then Old Timers Day. Willie Randolph gets his plaque in Monument Park, and you know, Willie being a New Yorker, you know, has a lot of ties to New York baseball. Obviously, with the Yankees, you know, was manager with the Mets. So I mean, this is his town. He's a baseball guy, and you know, I think it's awesome that he was recognized. He was always one of my favorite guys. He was a little bit before my time, but I always did keep up with his career as far as stats and things like that. So he was one of my favorites growing up. And it was awesome to see Willie, and his speech was just really good. You know, he took his time with it, which was awesome, and just kind of said his thank yous, and really, you could tell how genuinely proud and happy he was to be honored like this, and how much appreciation he truly has for the New York fan base. So it was really cool to see.
Yeah, that was completely off the cuff. He said he was just going to go with it, and it was a great speech. It was incredible. He got a little choked up at the end, and it was just great to see him back.
Yeah, no
doubt. You can tell he just loves all the fans.
He just loves everything about it. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully he's back in some capacity with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, at the end he said, "Oh, I just want to take another minute and soak it all in." So he just stood there at the podium and just soaked it all in. Hey, it was great.
Good for him.
I hope he gets back in baseball somehow, managing, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He kind of got the short end of the stick with the Mets.
I agree. He's
I don't really understand why he's not back in baseball as a manager. I mean, he deserves it. He paid his dues 20 years as a coach with the Yankees,
right.
Had success with the Mets. Hopefully he catches on with some team.
Yeah, he was definitely my favorite third base coach ever too. That hand did not stop flying.
Yeah, waving him in.
Yeah,
he won six World Series with the team as a player and a coach.
I feel like those teams are kind of forgotten now. Those late 70s teams. Those are some great teams.
Yeah, he 13 years as a player, 10 as a coach. I don't know how he doesn't
captain.
Have a job.
Captain.
Yeah, co-captain. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's not employed in the MLB, but
totally agree. Give Willie a job; he deserves it.
Yeah, bring him up. Let's go.
So the other surprising thing to a lot of people was Mel Stottlemyre got a surprise induction to Monument Park. 11 years as a player, 10 as a coach, 4 rings with the Yankees, 96 and then 98 through 2000. And you know, he was always the guy with Joe. I mean, he was Torrey's guy, always there with him. And you know, that was really special. I know he's been battling some health issues in the past, and you could just tell he was, I mean, again, just absolute true emotion and appreciation for you know, the Yankees and the fans. And it was really good to see you know, Mr. Stottlemyre there with his family getting that induction. So
yeah, it was awesome. I obviously missed Old Timers Day. I caught the highlights when I got back. His speech was awesome. I know Pettit, Andy Pettit, was not scheduled to go to Old Timers Day, but when he heard that Mel was going to be there, he said that he had to be there to walk him out.
Yep, he did. He walked him out. He helped him out there. Yep.
Yeah, and Mel, I think he lives in Washington, near Seattle. So for him to come all the way across the country with you know, the health issues he's had, really happy for him, and hopefully he can come back for another Old Timers Day and many more down the road.
No doubt. Overall, Old Timers Day is just a special place to be. If you've never been to an Old Timers Day, I mean, 100% highly recommend go out there, because, you know, it's so much fun watching all those guys go out. They play a couple innings, and it's, you know, they're not playing hard by any means. Everybody's kind of just having some fun. But it was really cool to see a lot of the guys back there and kind of reminiscing with, you know, with the stadium announcers and all the highlights of the guys coming back. So that was a lot of fun. It was a great time. And then after Old Timers Day, that was a 4 o'clock. They started a little after four. We had another game with the Tigers, and it turned out to be a very good game, because the Yankees offense got hot and stayed hot pretty much all day. And you know, the aforementioned Mr. Nathan Eovaldi had a nice bounce back start.
Yeah, he threw 36 pitches in that clunker against Miami, so the Yankees figured they just throw him right back out there, since he really didn't tax himself, and it helped. He was much more sharp, and I think he had one of his best outings of the year.
You know, one of the biggest things with Eovaldi that I noticed on Saturday was he was actually making his pitches. You know, he was hitting locations, he was locating other pitches besides his fastball, and when he does that with his repertoire and, you know, the amount, the velocity that he has, I mean, he throws 98 to 100 miles an hour with that fastball. But when he's locating and you know, he's got his off-speed stuff working, he is filthy. And I know that that's what these guys saw, and that's the potential that they've seen. So, you know, hopefully he can just continue to grow. I've been saying this all season, you know, on the show, that I'm a giant potential guy. I love seeing potential. And Eovaldi's probably got the most potential, you know, or if not one of the most in the rotation.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the fact that, you know, his offense was there for him, they were up like 8-0 by the time the fourth inning came around. So I feel like he was able to settle down and locate his pitches and, you know, just breathe and not overthink and not be like, oh, I just threw 36 pitches in Miami, got shelled. So I think his offense being there really helped him, like you said, just locate his pitches.
Yeah, and his splitter, I feel like, is the key for him, because that's a pitch he's really tried to develop. I think Larry Rothschild has kind of gotten that across to him, that you can't just blow a fastball by everybody.
Right.
You need to have the secondary pitches. So when you're not locating your fastball, maybe on certain days you can go to your breaking pitches, your off-speed stuff, and get guys out that way. But it was nice to see his outing today, and hopefully he can build on it in his next start.
Yeah, you can ask Jabba about just, you can't make a living blowing your fastball by people.
Right.
So talking about the offense absolutely supported him. They won 14-3. But I think it was the fourth inning. By the fourth inning, Gardner had a triple, a double, and a single, and only needed a home run for the cycle. And he had two or three more opportunities. And you could tell, man, that swing was getting more uppercut. He was definitely going for it.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the way the score was, why not? So that was fun to watch. And then A-Rod, you know, going back to his
turn
earlier,
back the clock.
Turn back the clock for A-Rod. You know, it's a laser out. I mean, that ball got out fast.
Those went 94 miles an hour on the inside.
He drilled it. Yeah, he just drilled it down the left field line. Yeah. And, you know, five RBIs. So, you know, A-Rod is just kind of clicking on all cylinders at this point. You know, so hopefully, obviously, he continues and stays healthy. But a good two starts or good two games starting that series. Then we get into today, Sunday. Was kind of an unfortunate. Tanaka got roughed up a bit. Gave up a bunch of hits, 10 hits through five innings, seven runs. I know Didi had an error, so there was a home run that followed that. One thing I hadn't mentioned before, but because I just mentioned the error, you know, Didi has been good lately. You know, he on Saturday, you know, he was hitting the ball hard. He could have had four hits very easily, and he has been a lot better defensively. I think it's unfortunate with the error, but I think overall he's kind of turning a corner a little bit. And we're seeing maybe more of the potential of Didi that you know we can see. You know, what are you guys' thoughts on Didi so far?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think coming into Sunday's game, he was hitting 276 in June, which I think the Yankees would take that, you know, would take a month like that from their shortstop every single time.
Right.
So I don't know if it's his offense that's helping his defense improve or his play in the field is helping his offense, but whatever it is, he's definitely looked like a much different player than what we've seen in April and May.
Yeah, and it could just be a settling time, right? I mean, maybe it's taken him just a few more months. I mean, he's never really been a full-time guy. So this is kind of his, you know, a fresh start for him, and, you know, maybe he just needed to get settled in and kind of, you know, feel his way around the Bronx a little bit. But, yeah, he's definitely doing well. But back to Sunday's game, RJ, Tanaka gives up seven runs, 10 hits, five innings. You know, what'd you see from Tanaka, and, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, what happened there?
Tanaka seems like he's going to have those games every once in a while where, you know, he gets roughed up. Last time we saw that, I believe, was right before he landed on the DL, not to scare anybody, but I believe he was roughed up right before we found out about the tear in his ligament, and I don't want to say that's what happened today. He was facing a good Tigers lineup, you know, that you got Cespedes, V-Mart came back, and Cabrera's. Those, you know, 3, 4, 5 hitters are just ridiculous.
Yeah, and not to mention JD Martinez, who hit three home runs.
Yeah, just three long balls. And, I mean, in the Yankee Stadium, you're going to give up home runs. It's a fact. So,
just to go off that, I mean, Tanaka's been so good his last three starts after he came off the DL that you kind of just look at this one and say it's just one of those starts that every pitcher has, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah, you gotta expect it.
Right. Yeah, the key for him is the next one. You don't want it to snowball into, you know, then all the questions start coming back about his health. His elbow hurting him? Is the wrist thing back? So I think his next start, you want to see him just get back to where he was before. And I think the big thing for him today, McCann said he was just missing his spots. And if you're going to miss your spots against Miguel Cabrera, JD Martinez, Victor Martinez, it's not going to look good. It didn't look too good today.
On to the next.
Overall, Tigers series, again, 2 out of 3. I would take it every day.
Definitely.
But we had some really good things that come out of that, too. I mean, let me
grab this one.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. I'll serve it up for you.
Let's talk about these great things that came out. Okay, so Stephen Drew goes 6 for 12 with 2 home runs. Those 2 home runs came today when they were down 12-1. So good for you, Stephen Drew, for contributing when it doesn't matter.
Let me just point out that Robinson Cano has 2 home runs of the entire season. And Drew hits two in a 24 in about a 3 hour span.
In a 12-1 game losing. Yeah. I'm so glad he decided to contribute to this game. That's but anyway, yeah. I digress. Beltran, going back to Saturday, Beltran homered from both sides of the plate. The 12th time he's done that in his career. So he's in third place behind only Nick Swisher and Mark Teixeira. They've done it 13 times in their career, which is pretty impressive for an old guy.
And Beltran's been hitting the ball very well lately. You know, he seems to kind of have his legs under him and kind of settling into the summer, if you will, and has been definitely hitting the ball a lot better. And you know, we're going to need him to be productive. You know, I think he's probably earned himself out of the top four, but you know, him batting in 5-6 or you know wherever Girardi's slotting him in adds a little bit more power, right, later in the lineup, which has been a good thing. Even you know, over the past week and a half, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, and just spread out those switch hitters. You know, you're gonna create havoc for the pitchers. You don't know where they're putting those switch hitters in the lineup every day, because Girardi's gonna, you know, mix it up every day.
Yeah, and Beltran's so key to the lineup. He was awful in April. I think he hit under 200, or he hit around 200 in April, and then in May he hit around 300, and then in June he kind of cooled back off. So hopefully now he's starting to go back on the upward on the upwards of things. But for them to be successful in square runs, he's real important. If they can get, you know, May type Beltran results out of him, I think they'll be in good shape.
Maybe he's doing that gluten free diet that Texas is doing.
That's right. Yeah, right. Maybe Texas is getting everybody on the bandwagon.
Gluten free.
The entire organization should go gluten free.
They have to. Just based off of Texas results.
Yeah.
Nice. So that kind of wraps up our week. You know, we had a good week, just kind of recapping a split with the Marlins. Had an awesome Old Timers Day on Saturday. Took two or three from Detroit. A-Rod 3K. So a lot of news. We have probably three, four new arms in the bullpen. So up for their trial run. You know, hopefully they don't get sent back down and a couple people settle back in. But yeah, overall, I mean, it was a good week of baseball. Hopefully we can kind of keep it up, you know, moving into this next week, because I'll tell you what, the AL East is getting bunchier and bunchier and closer, and everybody but not named the Boston Red Sox.
Not named the Red Sox.
is kind of, you know, right there for the taking. So, you know, I think that's going to continue the rest of the season. We're going to see a lot of bunching in the standings. But, you know, hopefully we can continue this, because I think the talent could really take us there. But again, guys, thanks so much for filling in. I know Andrew will be back next week. Rich, RJ, thank you guys very much. Really, it was fun having you guys on, and we'll definitely have you back back on soon.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, man.
All right, so Bronx faithful, we will see you guys next week. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you then. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.